Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. Today I'm going to start with a very short piece from Benjamin Creme's master titled Gambling Gestures. It was given through Mr. Creme in June 2014. Whenever men make a determined step into right relationship, there are always others who make an equally determined step into confrontation. Multitudes work and even die for greater freedom and justice, while other forces threaten the peace in cynical attempts to consolidate their diminishing power. Meanwhile, humanity at large watches and trembles, witnessing with fear a renewal of ancient hatred thought to be discarded and overcome. We, your elder brothers, too, watch carefully this dangerous ploy. But fear not. Common sense, we know, will force the acceptance of at least a precarious peace, with gains and losses balanced, more or less. From now on, this scenario will be repeated across the world, where the great powers attempt to maintain or to even increase their power, knowing, however, that they must do so carefully without damaging the status quo. For how long can the nations play this useless game? The only sensible course is to work together for peace and prosperity for all. Only in this way will they ready their peoples for the joy of peace, the prosperity of justice, and the bliss of sharing. I'm going to follow that up now with an excerpt from the editorial that features in each issue of the magazine. If we're doing it right, each month's edition should provide more examples of a far broader definition of spirituality than prevailing ideas. This obviously makes our information accessible to activists in all spheres, as can be seen in articles about the protection of our planet and reports illustrating how important in that struggle are honest politics and intelligent leadership. Benjamin Creme's master wrote Gambling Gestures in 2014. It is uncannily contemporary, as is another brief commentary by him that describes the fundamental malaise responsible for our current woes. One day in the last year of his life, Benjamin Creme started talking about fascism and how it is dominant now in so many areas of our lives. We have always had fascists, but various forms of fascism seem to be more prevalent nowadays, particularly in the financial, economic, as well as political arenas. What Mr. Creme seemed to be getting at was how commercialization has wormed its insidious way into every aspect of our lives, so that almost nothing is left unscathed. It is not simply that the rich have got richer and have turned all of our life into a profit-making exercise that sacrifices life, planet, and the world's future to their greed, but all is done to satisfy their desire for power. What power? Power over minds, power to shape policies, ideologies, and social trends, power to influence the outcome of elections. Truth is under attack and has been distorted to support the required narrative. As Mr. Krem's master puts it in the article titled The Glamour of Power, the first priority is true knowledge of the facts. This, however, is hard to find. So many voices chant or scream their various conflicting information, so many opinions are elevated to the status of facts, that few can be believed or listened to with respect. If truth is no longer reliable, opinion takes its place, making the manipulation of public opinion easy. Our common values and standards are eroded, counting for little or nothing. Democracy is pronounced dangerous by elected politicians who claim to speak for the masses. No irony there, then. Popular protests are being made illegal. Freedom of speech is being curtailed. The men of money, as Mr. Krem's master describes them, the power-hungry media moguls and international oligarchs, fear freedom and use their wealth to buy countries, to purchase politicians, to take huge swathes of mineral-rich areas, to command whole sectors such as the agricultural, medical, arms and energy sectors. As current financial news seems to indicate, perhaps another period of economic turmoil may soon erode their power and bring about the reassessment the world so urgently needs. No wonder Maitreya galvanizes protesters, joining demonstrations and supports people marching to demand freedom, justice, equality and peace. No wonder Benjamin Krem's master calls us to work together for the joy of peace and the bliss of sharing, the only basis for a sane world which can stand against the tyranny of commercialization. So that's the end of the editorial excerpts. Now going on to the trends section of Share International magazine. And in this section, we reviewed developments and opinions which demonstrate that there is an increasingly powerful undercurrent sweeping the world in the direction of synthesis, sharing and cooperation of new relationships and new approaches. So here's two or three short articles. The first one is titled Saving Endangered Species by Changing People's Attitudes. In the Indian state of Assam, biologist and conservationist Dr. Purnima Devi Barman has transformed people's attitudes to an endangered bird and also given thousands of women a new identity. The greater adjutant, a scavenger bird and member of the stork family, which can grow up to 1.5 metres tall or 5 feet, was previously abundant across South Asia and an important member of nature's cleaning crew. But they were reviled as bad omens and carriers of disease and stench and became endangered. The birds, called Hagila, meaning bone swallower in Assamese, were attacked with stones by villagers, the trees where they roosted cut down, and their nests burned. Barman mobilized more than 10,000 women to help save the stork by appealing to their nurturing side, and she also honored the owners of nesting trees, mostly men, by making them feel a sense of pride in their role as guardians. Assam has a rich tradition of weaving, and Barman secured funding for looms and provided training in weaving the Hagila motif into fabrics. Women were also given sewing machines to make bags, cushion covers, and other items from the hand-woven fabrics, thus providing them with an independent income. For her entrepreneurial vision in using conservation to improve women's economic status, Barman received the UN Environment Programme's Champions of the Earth Award in 2023. The once maligned bird is now a cultural symbol, appearing on everything from towels to road safety campaigns. And as Barman says, conservation is all about uniting people and building ownership. I've always believed that, if given a chance, women can make a big difference in conservation. The source of that little article was from The Guardian in the UK and also UN Champions of the Earth. And this next little piece is titled Quantum Mechanics and Ecology. Since the 1920s, quantum mechanics has revolutionised our worldview, radically transforming how we live. Using the capacity of very small particles to get across high energy barriers to build transistors and especially integrated circuits has brought us all kinds of electronic devices that are now part of our daily lives. It seems another phase in the contribution of quantum mechanics is beginning, using another aspect called entanglement, which is the capacity of instant communication between two entangled particles, not limited by the speed of light. This is currently being tested in cryptography. It might be used in quantum computers, and a very unexpected application is being developed in the agricultural domain. Quantum Biogrowth Solutions, or QBGS for short, claim they have developed a new biological method to increase agricultural productivity. According to them, this method reduces the use of fertilizers, water, and insecticides and helps soil regeneration. They use a signal of special form, or an SSF, and quantum entanglement properties to provide a long-term stimulus to plants remotely. They experimented on various crops in many countries, for example, corn in Italy, linen in Russia, oats in Finland, wheat in Spain. Each time they gained positive results, either a decrease in fertilizers or an increase in fibers, seed germination or yield. Could this new technology lead to a more earth-friendly agriculture? And if you're interested in reading more about that, there's a rather long-winded website name here. It's quantumbiogrowthsolutions.com. And one other short article titled Food for the People, by the People. The People's Food and Farming Alliance, the PFFA, is a new initiative run by volunteers with the aim of getting as many people as possible in the UK involved in food production and distribution systems. Reacting to modern farming practices, soaring food prices, shortages, and control by big organisations over food production, the Alliance aims to return power to individuals, communities and farmers by helping them become more self-sufficient and their farms more viable. As a movement for the people, by the people, PFFA aims to do this through practical guidance and education. It also aims to connect communities with local farmers, growers and possible sites for development to enable local and regional distribution of food and support farmers and producers through the transition towards a more natural, organic, mixed farming approach, thus helping the land and ensuring a better life for the animals involved while producing far better, more nutritious food for human consumption. The initiative appears to be gaining support both in the UK and other countries. And the source for that is a website, the-pffa.org. And now for a very positive article. It's from the commondreams.org website. It's from the point of view section and is titled The Biggest Conservation Victory Ever, Global Treaty to Protect Oceans Reached. And it's by John Queerly. And this is just excerpts. Ocean conservationists expressed elation on the 5th of March 2023 after it was announced following nearly two decades of consideration and effort that delegates from around the world had agreed to the language for a far-reaching global treaty aimed at protecting the biodiversity on the high seas and in the deep oceans of the world. And Dr. Laura Meller, who's the Oceans Campaigner for Greenpeace in the Nordic region, said, "This is a historic day for conservation and a sign that in a divided world, protecting nature and people can triumph over geopolitics. We praise countries for seeking compromises, putting aside differences, and delivering a treaty that will let us protect the oceans, build our resilience to climate change, and safeguard the lives and livelihoods of billions of people." The final text of the Global Ocean Treaty, which is formally referred to as the Biodiversity Beyond National Jurisdiction Treaty, quite a mouthful, BBNJ for short, was reached after a two-week round of talks that concluded with a 48-hour marathon push between delegations at the United Nations headquarters in New York. "This is huge," said Greenpeace in a social media post, calling the agreement the biggest conservation victory ever. Mina Epps, who's director of the Global Marine and Polar Program at the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, said the agreement represents a new opportunity, and she says, "The High Seas Treaty opens the path for humankind to finally provide protection to marine life across our one ocean." Epps said in a statement, "Its adoption closes essential gaps in international law and offers a framework for governments to work together to protect global ocean health, climate resilience, and the socio-economic well-being and food security of billions of people." Protecting the world's high seas, which refers to areas of the oceans outside the jurisdiction of any country, is part of the larger push to protect planetary biodiversity and seen as key if nations want to keep their commitment to the UN-brokered Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, also known as the 30 by 30 Pledge, that aims to protect 30% of the world's natural habitat by 2030. And a quote by the High Seas Alliance in a statement goes as follows, "With currently just over 1% of the high seas protected, the new treaty will provide a pathway to establish marine protected areas in these waters." The group said the treaty will make achieving the goals of the Kunming-Montreal Agreement possible, but that time is of the essence for the world's biodiversity. And they go on to say, "The new treaty will bring ocean governance into the 21st century, including establishing modern requirements to assess and manage planned human activities that would affect marine life in the high seas, as well as ensuring greater transparency. This will greatly strengthen the effective area-based management of fishing, shipping, and other activities that have contributed to the overall decline in ocean health." The group said it is now urgent for governments around the world to take the final step of ratifying the treaty. And they say, "We can now finally move from talk to real change at sea. Countries must formally adopt the treaty and ratify it as quickly as possible to bring it into force, and then deliver the fully protected ocean sanctuaries our planet needs." And the last quote from Dr. Laura Meller of Greenpeace, "The clock is still ticking to deliver 30 by 30. We have half a decade left and we can't be complacent." And again, that was from the commondreams.org website. That's pretty much all we have time for, so thank you very much for listening in. For more information, definitely recommend checking out the website, which is share-international.org. And if you have any queries or comments, feel free to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. And remember, if you're keen on checking out an actual hard copy of the magazine, we do have several free ones available. So just send your details via our email address and we'll post one out to you free of charge. Well, thanks again and wishing you all a lovely week.